Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and reflect on the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The next offering of the Schoenstatt Movement Center's A Time for Couples is entitled Entrusting Our Children to the Blessed Mother. There'll be an inspirational talk, discussion, confession, rosary, holy mass, and refreshments. The date is Saturday, January 14th from 9 till noon at the center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. Childcare will be provided for this Time for Couples. To take advantage of this special event, you'll need to contact Roseanne Norman, 361-991-7653.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and Happy New Year to you.
And to you, Barbara, and to all those who are listening.
I know. We're lucky enough to start off the new year on this first day instead of the second or the third.
Right, right. Everything's falling on Sunday this year.
It is. And did you have a nice Christmas?
Very nice, you know, because Mass, midnight Mass at the cathedral, and some family and friends. So it was a little time to rest. So it's been a good time.
Good, good. Well, I'm back from Upper Michigan, and it's good to be back down to South Texas.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes.
Definitely Christmas weather up there.
You've had your dose of winter.
I have. Well, today's Mass celebrates Mary, the Mother of God, and her role in God's plan for our celebration. So our Gospel this morning is from St. Luke. So let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and reflected on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the first Sunday of the month, and as has been our tradition for the past 4 months, I believe it is, we're going to reflect on the Word of Life for January. And that word is, since you have been raised up in company with Christ, set your heart on what pertains to higher realms where Christ is seated at God's right hand.
Right. So before we do that, let me just say that this particular Word of Life is chosen also as part of the January being from the 18th to the 25th, we celebrate the octave for Christian unity, the prayer for Christian unity. So this word also in some ways corresponds with that theme as well, which is we shall be transformed because of the victory of Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're transformed, we're raised up. So this is the Word of Life that from Colossians that helps us enter into the new year and into January, and also to be aware that as Christians we are called to unity. If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. These words of St. Paul to the community at Colossae speak of the existence of a world in which true love reigns, together with full communion, justice, peace, holiness, and joy. There, sin and corruption can no longer enter. It is a world where the will of the Father is perfectly fulfilled. It is to this world that Jesus belongs. He opened it up to us by means of his resurrection, by having passed through the arduous trial of his passion. If then you are raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. St. Paul says that we are not only called to Christ's world, but we already belong to it. Faith tells us that through baptism, we are engrafted in him, and as a result, we participate in his life, in his gifts, in his inheritance, in his victory over sin and the forces of evil. We have, in fact, risen with him. As long as we are on earth, however, our membership in this world of Christ is not full and totally unveiled. It is not, above all, stable and definite. As long as we live, we will be exposed to 1,000 dangers, difficulties, and temptations that can cause us to hesitate, slow down on our journey, or even detour toward false destinations. If then you are raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We can understand, then, the exhortation of the Apostle, seek what is above. Materially, you walk this earth, but spiritually, you can leave it. Give up the rules and passions of this world in order to let the thoughts and sentiments of Jesus guide you in every situation. What is above, in fact, points to the laws of a higher realm, the laws of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus brought on earth and wants to fulfill here and now. If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. How then can we live this word of life? It encourages us to not be satisfied with a mediocre life made of half measures and compromise. It encourages us to conform our lives with the grace of God to the laws of Christ. This word of life urges us to live and give witness in society to the values that Jesus brought on earth. It could be a spirit of concord and peace, of service to our neighbor, of understanding and forgiveness, of honesty, justice, integrity in our work, of faithfulness, purity, respect for life, etc. The possibilities are as vast as life itself. But so as not to remain in the realm of the abstract, let us this month put into practice the law of Jesus, which is a kind of synthesis of all the others, to recognize Christ in every neighbor and place ourselves at his or her service. We will thus prepare ourselves for the final examination of our life. Written by Kara Lubick.
I find this to be a very interesting word of life for January, considering that we're in the octave of Christmas, and we've been spending 4 weeks during Advent of preparing for our Savior's birth, and now we have this to kind of start out the new year for us, you know, as she's talking about making sure that we are living the life that Christ wanted us to live.
Right, and I think it's a very good observation, and I think that, you know, as we begin every new year, it's always a time to start again.
Exactly.
And what a beautiful example to look back, of course, at a week ago to the birth of Christ, and to say that it's because of him that we have the opportunity to start over, especially in our spiritual life, in our moral life, in our family life, which we just celebrated this past week as well, the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And so all of those essential values of our life, those essential virtues that we have, it's a time to examine and start over and make, you know, new proposals, and hopefully we stick with them. But I think in general what this particular sentence from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians that we have to be raised up with Christ and seek what is above really asks us to take on his attitude, as she said in the commentary there. And that attitude can go with us anywhere. It's not something that we leave behind when we finish our prayers in the morning or after we leave the church after Mass. It's something that we take. His attitude is what it's all about. The reason that we receive the Eucharist is to receive Christ, to welcome him into our lives, especially at the Eucharist, so that we can be raised with him to eat his body and blood, but also to take on his mentality, to go half measure is to think that something like the Eucharist or any of the other sacraments is just to serve me and my salvation. Yes, it is. But it also, as we see here very clearly, it's also to give me the mind of Christ, so wherever I am, that I'm Christ in every situation. And so it really is, it's a challenging word that we're given for this month.
Well, it is. And she said in the very beginning, it was in the very first verse when you read it, speak of the existence of a world in which true love reigns. And this is a topic that you have talked about quite a bit, that everything is about the four-letter word love, opening right up our hearts.
That certainly summarizes everything because it summarizes God. And that's why St. John says God is love. And the life journey is to really discover what is love. And somewhere along there she spoke about at times we take the wrong path, or we take detours into a world of sin. And sometimes it's even given the name love. But we know, of course, that love is sacrificial in the sense that I'm willing to give up myself or give up what I have, give up my time, talent or treasure, whatever it is, in order to love, in order to be there for others. And that's the true meaning of that. And that's the true meaning of Christmas, is that God came to us and sacrificed himself.
Yeah. And he was the gift in Christmas was Jesus.
The gift of self, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I always like in the Eucharist that we oftentimes say the offertory prayer, that we offer to you, Father, what you have given to us. And so the fact that we are even at Eucharist, at Mass, to offer ourselves, to offer the bread and the wine, to offer the body and blood of Christ to the Father, that's not from us. That was given to us. And so we're just returning what has been given. But so also our entire life, if we are a good stewards and are able to give, it's only because it's been given. And that's the great awakening that all of us need to have in life, that everything we have is gift, and everything that we have as gift is to be shared and given back.
Given back, exactly. Well, we are going to take a short break, and then we will continue our conversation of the Word of Life. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Maximilian, Saint of Auschwitz, is a one-man play starring Leonardo de Filippis. It chronicles the life of a remarkable Catholic priest, Father Maximilian Kolbe, who offered his life in a German World War II concentration camp to save the life of another man. St. John the Baptist Catholic Church will present this one-time live drama event Friday, January 13th, 7 p.m. at the church, 7522 Everhart Road in Corpus Christi. Proceeds will benefit the high school youth of St. John's who will be attending retreats next summer. For advance tickets and complete information, call the church office, 361-991-4400. You may also visit stjohnthebaptistcc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we've been reflecting on the Word of Life for January. And as you were reading the text there, I noticed that on the second part of it, it talks about how St. Paul tells us that he said, faith tells us that through baptism we're engrafted in him, and as a result we participate in his life, in his gifts, in his inheritance, in his victory over sin and forces of evil. We have in fact risen with him. You know, all of that I understand. I don't understand the piece about we participate in his inheritance.
Right. Well, I think it'd be good to go back to the baptism part first, because even this, the sentence structure of this one verse is, if you were raised with Christ. And of course we know from St. Paul in the letter to the Romans that if you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. And baptized into his death, you're also raised with him. So again, the uniqueness of our baptism is again something to discover. We too often see it as especially when we baptize children, which is absolutely valid and necessary for our spiritual life. But because it does happen as children, it becomes elusive in many ways of what is the meaning of that. But it is a baptism into Christ. And so if it's baptism into Christ, it's to participate in everything that belongs to him, which, as you said here, as she says here, that into his life, so all that pertains to his life, his family life, his ministry, his gifts, and also his inheritance. Well, his inheritance, of course, is after death. I mean, when he died and rose and then ascended. So this is the speaking or referring also to the ascension to the right hand of the Father, that we too, again, as St. Paul would say, if we have died with him, if we have risen with him, we'll also live with him. So it's an eternal existence, and the inheritance is the inheritance of eternal life, all which right. is the inheritance of perfect love, of perfect peace, of everything that's perfect. And that's really what this is saying to us, is that we have to seek after that. And we seek after it not by our own merits. In other words, I can do this, this, and this and gain eternal life, but it's to seek Christ. And he's my inheritance here on earth. And inheriting him, I inherit all that belongs to him, which is to be raised with him.
So this is our journey.
Yes, it's our journey. And that our journey is a fixed journey with our heart and mind, eyes fixed in him. And then mysteriously, through him and with him, we find our way to life here, but life eternal, mm-hmm. which is our inheritance with him.
All right. Thank you for explaining that.
Sure.
One other question that I had, too, was, you know, in this word of life, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above. All right. Seek what is above. Is that sounding a little like an escape, that we shouldn't be concentrating on our day-to-day lives? We're just always focusing on, you know, the afterlife?
Well, unfortunately, some may see it that way, and some may try to live that way, as if we can escape our daily duties, and that certainly is not the mind of Christ. But to seek what is above is really to set our hearts somewhere else. And then with our hearts set in the proper place, then everything that we do takes on value. So often, Barbara and everybody out there, you know, that's listening, so often we do things in a very repetitive fashion in our life, and we may get up every morning at the same hour and go through the same routine, and maybe in our prayer life we do the same prayers and we do the same motions. Our Sundays may be filled with routine, going to Mass, fixing dinner, etc., going to work. Same routine, same people.
Same way to get to work.
Same way to get to work. And, you know, life in many ways is about routine. And what happens with routine is that we lose the enthusiasm and we lose meaning. You know, even for me as a priest, that, you know, when you say Mass day after day and for 36 years, you know, it can unfortunately become a habit, a routine, and diminish in meaning, unless I'm seeking what is above. And that's the secret to everything that we do, is to seek above, which is Christ, to have him first. And that's where beginning the day with prayer, beginning our day, focusing our heart, our life, our mind in Christ, then everything takes on meaning. So driving down the same street every day, you see the same people, or you maybe see different people. And so you begin to pray for these people, or you come into work and you open your emails, and maybe with your heart fixed in Christ, even a problematic email may be an opportunity that Christ is saying, you know, here's a cross for you today, love me. Or here's a brother or sister that needs help, you know, be charitable to them. Right. So, but if we don't have that internal openness to Christ and internal fixing our hearts in Christ, then everything can turn black. Things can lose meaning. With Christ, seeking what is above gives meaning to what we're doing.
What a wonderful point you brought up about taking everything for granted and just rote. And we've talked about before how sometimes just that greeting to the person who may be opening the doors for us, or the greeting to the person who's taking our money as we're leaving, you know, a parking garage, and smiling and making conversation can just be the small things.
Yeah. And sometimes when it is routine and we don't have our heart in the right place, we can miss the simplest things, which can be the biggest gift of the day.
Exactly.
But because we're not focused and our heart is not in the right place, then we miss it, unfortunately. I was reading something during Advent where Pope Benedict had said that Advent is about presence. In other words, being present to God. And in being present to God, you recognize that these smallest little things have meaning in our life. If we're not present to God, or as St. Paul says here, if we haven't sought the things that are above, which is to seek God, same thing, if we don't do that, we'll miss it. And exactly. What a tragedy that is in our life when God wants to show us his love through the smallest little things, a child's smile, but if our hearts are elsewhere, we don't see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the true value that Christ came in to give us in life, is to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to the simple things in life, which again, St. Teresa the Little Flower showed us the little way, the simple way to find God in our life.
We don't want to have any missed opportunities. So we have a lot of opportunities.
A lot of days to look for the simple things. But that will only happen if we can live this word of life, that if you're raised in Christ, you recognize, and I recognize, that this is the dignity of our call to live Christ in our life, then seek what is his above, and then you'll be given the wisdom and the eyes to really see the presence of God in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. And as we have noticed before with these Word of Lives, usually we have several weeks through the month where what we're hearing in the gospel reflects back to the Word of Life for January. So I'm sure for the next couple of weeks we'll be hearing about this.
Right, if we keep that present in our lives. You know, I was reading something recently by Kiara Lubick, and she was speaking of a way for us to live, which I thought was, you know, again, kind of the same theme. Well, is that escapism, or what are you talking about there? And she said, to always live with your feet on the ground and your head in a cloud.
And your head in a cloud.
And the head in the cloud. And she said, what is the cloud? The cloud is the Word of God. So that if we, going back to the Word of Life, if we keep these sentences that we're proposing at the beginning of each month, if we keep them alive in our hearts, our heads are in a cloud because we're seeking what's above. But our feet are on the ground to bring Christ into real life. So we're both. Jesus was, as I've said oftentimes as well, and of course we celebrated at Christmas, he's God and man. So feet on the ground to do all that we're supposed to do, all that is the will of God in our daily routine, going back to our routines, driving the car, washing the dishes, cooking food, et cetera, doing our jobs to the best of our ability in each moment. So that's your feet on the ground, but with a new spirit. And that's what distinguishes the Christian in this whole thing, is that it brings in the Spirit of Christ and so gives meaning to those daily activities, which can be humdrum, unfortunately, if we're not careful.
Right.
But that's really, if you think about it, that's really the spirit of Christmas, that Christ came to divinize, to make sense out of all these, to bring his life into everything. It's the meaning of this day of Mary, Mother of God, that she is the Mother of God. She opened her life so that this could happen for us. So we're a great honor of her today. And it's the beginning of a new year, so we've got new opportunities.
We have a lot of new opportunities. Well, we're coming to the end of our program, but I did want to mention that on Friday was the celebration of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Yes, and you know, I think again there we can lose the meaning when we see the nativity sets, and unfortunately probably people start taking them down already, missing
already
the 12
down.
Days of Christmas.
Right.
But anyway, we have to rejoice in these 12 days. But to see in that gathering of those three people, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, a holy family, but a family which also is an image, a model of the Holy Trinity, three distinct persons, united in love, in a communion of life, which gave witness to obviously the people around them, but for centuries has been a model for us, not only a family life, but the life of God. And so we are all called to a communion of life. There's no room in our life to be individualistic in the sense of, I don't need anybody. That's not what this is about. The Holy Family reminds us, and I encourage all of us, because we're all in some kind of a family,
exactly.
But that we live that with respect and honor for God first, as we have in our Word of Life, but also then to share that and show that love to those who are around us, especially in our families, to be a true model of God's presence.
Yeah, that's again, it's a beautiful thing for us to take with us as we start the new year.
So, Bishop, if you could close our session with a prayer and a blessing for us, please.
Let us pray. Lord, on this feast day of Mary, Mother of God, we give thanks to you for choosing her to be the mother of your Son, the Immaculate Virgin, and also to be our mother. May we see in Mary always our mother, but also our model. And may we follow her example, which leads us to Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for joining us on this New Year's Day. Have a wonderful day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.